Today, we'll talk about what to expect at Disney World in 2016. That's coming up on this episode 119 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and happy 2016. Welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 119. I am so excited to go through the changes that are coming to Disney World this year because I have a little confession. I have actually looked more forward to my Disneyland trips in the last year than Disney World because they have newer stuff. And so it's always fun to go to Disneyland and see the new fireworks, the new parade, and their Cars Land, which is incredible, because Disney World just hasn't had those sort of same things to look forward to. But I think in the next year or two, that is all going to change. So I'm looking forward to bringing that enthusiasm back to Disney World. So before we dive into what those changes are for this year, I want to remind you to follow on social media, because I am very active there, especially Facebook and Instagram. Those have been my favorites lately. So you can follow there. I'm WDW Prep School on both platforms. And when I'm in the parks, I also use Periscope so that you can see what I'm seeing. So you can follow me there. I may try to pick up Snapchat again. I actually love Snapchat. I know I'm like the oldest person on there. I don't do it when I'm at home because it's kind of boring to Snapchat, you know, me in my yoga pants typing on a computer. But I might try to use it some more when I'm in the parks because I think Snapchat is a lot of fun. So if you happen to be on Snapchat, feel free to follow me there, and I may be posting something. Speaking of Disneyland, I'm going to Disneyland on Friday, January 8th, for a couple days, January 8th through the 11th, and I'm excited about that. I knew Disneyland was probably going to be my first trip of the year because I just really like it. I haven't been there in a few months, and which I realize isn't that long to most people, but you know, it's part of my job and I like to go out there and spend some time with Casey. So looking forward to that. So that will be the next trip that you might be able to see pictures from if you do follow on social media. So let's talk about what to expect at Disney World in 2016. Let's start with the parks. So first of all, let's do Magic Kingdom. The Magic Kingdom for a long time went through a lot of changes and additions and things like that, but it's kind of settled down at Magic Kingdom. And so the only real, the only major new thing to be aware of at Magic Kingdom is that the new restaurant, Skipper Canteen, is now open. It soft opened in mid-December, which means it wasn't officially open, and then it did officially open, I think, on December 16th. It's a table service restaurant, and right now it's just walk-up. So if you want to eat there, you literally just have to show up and hope that they can get you in. Reservation should open soon so that you can make those ahead of time before your trip. But if you don't know anything about Skipper Canteen, the restaurant is Jungle Cruise themed and the servers are skippers, just like on the Jungle Cruise ride. And they tell, you know, dumb jokes that we all have come to love. And so it's just the theming. They have the same costumes and same jokes and that kind of stuff, which I think is fun. My son happens to be obsessed with that pun humor. So he's going to love eating there. And we'll look forward to that maybe later this year on a future trip. Now, over at Epcot, we have a lot more happening. So, first of all, the Flower and Garden Festival is going to be taking place much longer this year. It's going to be going from the very first part of March to the end of May. And I think that one big reason for that is that Soarin's going to be closed for a long time. And so that's the second piece of information to know about Epcot, is that Soarin is going to be closed for several months at the beginning of 2016 because they are changing a lot of things about it. First of all, it's been Soarin' over California for a long, long time, and now it's going to be changed to Soarin' around the world. So completely new film, which I'm so excited about. I think I remember them filming the Disney World portion of it about a year and a half ago. So they've been working on this for a while, and so finally we're going to get to see it this summer probably. And when it reopens, it will also be digital, which means the wear and tear on the film that has been very apparent at Soarin' over California will not be there because it'll be digital. And they also will have a new theater, which means they can accommodate a lot more people at Soarin', which I'm very excited about that too, because even with a Fast Pass I feel like Soarin' takes a long time to get through. It's a long line and takes a while to get into the theater. So now they'll add a new one so they have more capacity there. And it's going to be a lot more popular. It's always been popular, but now with the new movie, it's going to be even more popular. So very excited to check out that this summer probably. And then probably the biggest thing is going to be the Frozen Ever After, which is they closed Maelstrom in Epcot, which is in the Norway section, and they're redoing it and making it Frozen Ever After. So it's going to be Frozen themed. They will also have a new Anna and Elsa meet and greet. The Los Angeles Times actually has had the best information about the new attraction. For some reason, they get scoops on some of the Disney attractions. So I'm going to read from you an article that they wrote a couple months ago about what Frozen Ever After is going to be like. It says the animatronic, well, let me go back. I need to explain one thing before there. It says Frozen Ever After replaces the 1988 Maelstrom log ride that took visitors on a tour through Norwegian mythology. The renovated ride uses Maelstrom's existing Viking ships and water flume with a new overlay of frozen scenes. So when I originally read this, I was so disappointed because I thought it's such a long closure. I was kind of hoping for an all new attraction and not just an overlay, but this article sort of confirmed that that's what it's going to be. And also using the same ships that Maelstrom did. So in terms of the details of the ride itself, the article says the animatronic figures will use rear projection technology that make the animated faces of the characters look more lifelike. So that same technology has been used at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and other attractions, which is fantastic. It looks great. And lastly, the article says, expect to hear for the first time in forever, Do You Want to Build a Snowman and Let It Go throughout the attraction, as well as other songs with slightly altered lyrics from composers Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. No new songs were written for the ride. So that's sort of what to expect at Frozen Ever After. And so that will be coming to Epcot probably by summer 2016. A lot of people have already started asking me about touring advice for Frozen Ever After, and I can't say anything for sure, but obviously I can take some educated guesses. So I assume that Frozen Ever After will be a tier one attraction, just like Test Track and Soarin' are. So you'll basically, if you're getting fast passes ahead of time, have to choose between Frozen Ever After, Soarin', or Test Track. And due to the popularity of it, I think those fast passes are going to go quickly. So it's either going to be, it's kind of like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You either get there right when the park opens or you get a fast pass ahead of time. That would be my guess. Test Track does have a single rider line. So if you have a family or a group that can do single rider, you might want to do single rider there so you can ride like Soarin' at park opening, use a fast pass for Frozen Ever After, do Test Track single rider line. That's probably going to be the easiest way to avoid lines on there, but we'll see how it all works out for sure when it finally opens later this year. So that is at Epcot. Now let's skip to Hollywood Studios, which is basically a construction zone for the next few years. So the first thing is that Star Wars weekends are going away. They've always taken place in May and June on the weekends. Very, very popular. And they're going away because now Star Wars is a more permanent presence. And speaking of, some things have already opened. Star Wars Launch Bay has now opened. It opened, I think, in December. And inside this building, there are character meets, exhibits, a short film, merchandise, things like that, that you can see that are clearly all Star Wars themed. Jedi Training Academy and Star Tours were also recently updated to reflect the new Force Awakens movie. So that's new. They also have Symphony in the Stars fireworks, which they used to also show during Star Wars weekend. So I've actually seen them during Star Wars weekends in previous years, and they are fantastic. Even if you don't care about the movies, then the fireworks are fantastic. Which, just side note, since we're talking about Star Wars, I just saw Star Wars for the first time. Never seen it my whole life because I've never really been interested, and I loved the new movie. So anyway, Symphony and the Stars fireworks were originally slated to only be on the weekends, but they have been scheduled nightly for this month. And we'll see if that continues on a trend, but that would be great if we could have fireworks every night in another park like that. Osborne lights are going away. Today, January 3rd was supposed to be the last day for Osborne lights, but they're actually being extended to January 6th. So just a few more days of stretching out that painful goodbye for the Osborne lights. But they're going away because they need to make way for construction of the new Star Wars Land. So Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land construction will begin in earnest this year. And I don't know how long it's going to take. They haven't given us a timeline on that. I did just look up the timeline for Cars Land, which is in California Adventure, Disneyland, just to get an idea. And that took them 3 years. So if it's going to take 3 years, then maybe we'll see Star Wars Land, Toy Story Land in 2019, which sounds so far away. But you know, 3 years away or so is a probably a pretty good estimate. But we'll see when if they make some more concrete announcements in the near future. And then finally, at Hollywood Studios, there is a third track for Toy Story Mania, and that there's two tracks right now, and it's also obviously a very popular ride. So they're adding a third track, which should decrease the wait times and increase the likelihood that you'll be able to get a fast pass. So that'll be good news for Hollywood Studios. And then Animal Kingdom. I have to admit, this is the one that I am the most excited about. So Animal Kingdom is going through some changes right now. And the most major of those is Rivers of Light, which is going to be a nighttime show that begins in spring 2016 at Animal Kingdom. So nobody sells Animal Kingdom better than Joe Rohde. So I'm going to start, who's the Imagineer for Animal Kingdom. And I'm going to start with the audio from a video that Disney released talking about Rivers of Light to give you sort of a feel for what it's going to be like. And then I'll come back and talk to you more about the details of changes happening at Animal Kingdom. Here is Joe.
Disney's Animal Kingdom is built around the lives of animals, built around the rules of nature. And those rules dictate that things are different at night. That as you move from day to night, everything changes, like the lives of animals, like the world of nature, and you're going to want to see that. The tree, which is the centerpiece of the park, comes to life. These magic fireflies kind of open the body of the tree, and we look into the tree, and we see these amazing stories from the animals that are on the tree. So moving into the night, bringing this show to life, altering the way people move through the park and adding all these attractions, all of this is connected. It all really is summed up by the show on the lake, by the Rivers of Light. So in this show, we take this combination, light and heat, fire and water, and combine them. And out of that comes this fantastically rich explosion of animal life that ultimately rises up into the sky and joins the stars. It's pretty spectacular. We want you to be thinking about your own family, your own life, your loved ones, as much as you are thinking of the animals and the way in which we all share this experience of life.
So that's Rivers of Light. So it's going to be a combination of live performers and water screens and projections. And water screens are used right now at Fantasmic and at World of Color in California Adventure, and love both of those shows and can't wait to see how they use it for this show. Now, as far as timing, they've just said spring 2016. Disney did just revise park hours for April, and Animal Kingdom was extended every day. And so I thought that was a pretty good sign that April might be the date that Rivers of Light begins. I'm just not sure because I assume Rivers of Light will take place after dark, and the extended times weren't necessarily after dark. So I'm not really quite sure what to expect, but it is not too far away. Another thing coming to Animal Kingdom is the Sunset Kilimanjaro Safaris, which basically is just the Kilimanjaro Safari attraction, but at night. And the people that go on the Sunset Kilimanjaro Safari will see two new breeds, which will be the African wild dogs and hyenas. You'll see those animals at if you take the Sunset Safari. There's also a new table service restaurant. It is called Tiffin's, and that's an Indian English word which means a midday meal. And Tiffin's is going to serve lunch and dinner, and they'll have indoor and outdoor seating. They are located next to Pizzafari. So Pizzafari has been closed because they've been doing these refurbishments for Tiffin's. So that'll be a new thing coming as well in 2016. And then finally, Pandora, the World of Avatar, is a whole new section that's opening in 2017. So construction will just continue on that, and that'll give us something to look forward to opening in 2017, next year. And Disney Springs, finally, in terms of parks and shopping areas, Disney Springs, it has been under construction for, I don't know, it feels like 10 years, but it's been just a couple of years. And construction should be wrapping up in 2016. Disney Quest will be closing. If you're not familiar with Disney Quest, it's a place that you can go. It requires a separate ticket, and you can play virtual reality games, or as I like to call them, things that make me more nauseous than anything else on the planet. It's closing to make way for an MBA experience, which is coming in that space. The different sections of Disney Springs have seen changes over the last couple of years. Pleasure Island is now called The Landing, and then there's a town center area that's completely new, didn't used to exist, and so they've been creating that. So Disney Springs, completely different. And lots of great things. I mean, the things that they've opened, the shops and the restaurants and things have been fantastic. My issue just continues to be getting in and out of Disney Springs, but hopefully that will get easier as the construction winds down. Now, at the resorts, there are little projects going on. There's a lot of pool refurbishments happening at the resorts in the beginning of this year. So if you want to check the details on that, I would recommend going to the monthly dashboards on the site where all the refurbishments are listed by month. And you can see if your resort is affected. There's too many for me to just name them. The biggest resort construction to mention is Wilderness Lodge, and that's going to be going on through, I think, 2017. And that mostly affects the Villas area where I just stayed there in November, and the whole like quiet pool and the exteriors and the beach was closed. There's a lot going on at Wilderness Lodge. We didn't notice it from our room in the main Wilderness Lodge building. But the resort is affected in many ways for the next couple of years. And finally, the Polynesian refurbishment work, which has been going on for a long time, should be wrapping up this year. I think they have some pool work that they are continuing to do. But finally, the Polynesian should be wrapping up, and it looks fantastic. You may have heard me talk about the tour I took of the bungalows and the studios. I was really impressed with it. I do miss the waterfall that was in the lobby, but yeah, everything looks really great and refreshed and doesn't look quite so 1970s like it used to. But anyway, really fantastic results at the Polynesian. And so now people can stay there without worrying about listening to the equipment all the time. I think that kind of wraps it up for 2016. Lots of new things coming. Very excited about it. And obviously in the next couple of years, we'll have even more big things as new lands open in a couple of the parks. So before we wrap it up, I do have a quick tip of the day. And this actually comes from my friend Krista, who I traveled to Disney World with in November. And she goes a lot. She's already got a couple trips for 2016 planned. She doesn't often know where she's going to be every day of her trip when her FastPass Plus reservation window opens up. So what she does is 60 days before her trip begins, if she's not sure where she's going to be, she just makes fast passes at Magic Kingdom for every day, because those are the hardest ones to get, especially Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and Anna and Elsa. So if you find yourself not quite ready, you might want to go ahead and snag Magic Kingdom fast passes, especially for those two things. And you can just get them for every day of your trip and then go back and remove the ones that you don't need as soon as you know which days you plan on being at Magic Kingdom. But that way you won't be, you know, without fast passes for rides that often have long lines. So I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit www.prepschool.com/episode119. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.